Good morning.
Morning, Elders Disaster.
Which one?
Good morning. This is Richard Sizani, Chairperson of the Public Service Commission. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ambassador.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, fine, Ambassador.
Trying to be good. How is it there in that part of the world of yours?
The meeting is too much populated. I was going to be honest with you.
Okay. Okay, fine. You call me outside of the meeting.
Thank you, leadership.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Chairperson. You look good and clean and bright and fresh.
Young man of Northern Cape.
I've been absent since 3 this morning.
Champion of Northern Cape.
I was in there with my sorry, my apology, but I couldn't. I will listen to your message now.
I've been with you from I was 16 years old. I've been with you from that day up to today.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. It's Richard Cesar, the Chairperson of the Public Service Commission.
Good morning, good morning, Judge. How are you? Hey, super around?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm here.
Oh, good. Are we ready?
Yes, we are, Chair.
Is the DM here? And first, let's deal with the apologies that you have received.
Recording in progress.
Thank you, Chairperson. The apologies that we've received so far is for Honorable Moshodi and Honorable Mama Rakan. Those are the two that I've received in writing.
Okay, good. Right. The members that are present?
Members that are present is Honorable Matevula, Honorable Lansman, Honorable Boshoff, Honorable Dango, Honorable Khai, and yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's then take this opportunity to extend a word of welcome to all the honorable members present here, and a special word of welcome to the minister and the deputy minister, soon the deputy minister. I'm not just whether is the minister joining us or is in a special cabinet. And let me also extend that word of welcome to the team that is present here from those entities, including also the Public Service Commissioner. DM, is the minister joining us or is he part of the special cabinet?
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. Yes, the minister is attending cabinet, hence the apology that was forwarded to the select committee. Thank you, Chair.
Great. With that in mind, then can you probably give you an opportunity to give us an opening remarks, and then you give over to the DG. Over to you, the DM.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Maybe before the minister starts, there is a request from a Public Service Commission that at least I communicated to you yesterday.
Okay, good. Remember I said it's entirely the prerogative of the political leadership of the department.
Okay.
I believe that as part of the team, they might have also canvassed the view with the deputy minister in terms of that. But if there is no fundamental opposition to the suggestion, we will be amenable to accommodate them. Thank you. Over to you, GM.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members of the Select Committee. Let me also acknowledge the presence of our Director General for DPSA, Ms. Yoliswa Makasi, the principal of the National School of Government, Dr. Busani Ngaweni, the acting executive director for the Center for Public Service and Innovation, CPSI, Ms. Lida Sibukedi, chairperson of the Public Service Commission, Advocate Suzanne, and acting DG of PSC, Ms. Irene Matenjwa, the PSA, and all our entities that fall within the portfolio of the PSA senior management. I greet you all. Chairperson, we have convened today after a very mind-provoking commemoration of Africa Day yesterday, whereas the public service, we were immersed in discussions on silencing the guns in Africa through the creation of conducive conditions for Africa's development and intensifying the fight against COVID-19. Africa, we believe, yearns for socio-economic development freedoms and not to dodge bullets of any kind, including the bullets of health catastrophes such as that of the pandemic. All of us are mandated to continue to fight for a peaceful, united, and prosperous Africa. In our case, through the promotion of good governance, which is the bedrock for economic rehabilitation, growth, development, and political stability. Domestically, we are committed to building the Africa we want for a better world. Chairperson, the DPSA, through its policies, legislation, programs, and interventions, supports its vision of promoting a professional, capable, capacitated, ethical, and developmental public service that can detect, prevent, and combat corruption. The PSA program structure is designed to support its strategic alignment with key strategic outcomes that will enable an improved implementation of administrative policies, a stabilized public service, an intensified fight against corruption, and improved implementation of Batupili programs. Over the past year, our country has faced the worst pandemic in history, and this has put immense strain on already scarce resources. It has challenged traditional systems of service delivery to suit emergency conditions. We have learned many lessons from the pandemic. At the same time, it has exposed a number of shortcomings in how we deliver services. COVID-19 pandemic has exposed us to the need for a fast-track digital migration era to support public sector mandate. It has further revealed the expedient need for innovative solutions that will allow for responsive models to improve service delivery. Chairperson, the DPSA strategic plan and APP are informed by priority number one, that of building a capable, ethical, and developmental state of the 2019-2024 medium-term strategic framework. In today's meeting, members, the honorable members will receive a briefing from the National School of Government, from CPSI, from PSC, and of course from DPSA on their 2021-2025 strategic plans and their annual performance plans for 2021-2022 financial year. Our DPSA 2021-2022 annual performance plan has been revised to incorporate inputs from the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation, and of course the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability, which are key to ensure an inclusive government that performs at its optimum level. The performance targets reflected on the APP, among other things, will ensure that we manage and facilitate improvement of service delivery in government with budgets that can support these deliverables. On issues related to NSG, in the last financial year, honorable members will know that the school was negatively impacted by the pandemic as other departments, and because of that, the targeted number of registration for their courses offered by NSG could not then be met. This meant their targets on the strategic plan and APP had to be revised and provision made for more online resources in an effort to ensure that their revenue generation is not negatively affected. Their presentation will outline the important revision to both their APP and the strategic plan. The Center for Public Service and Innovation, like other government entities, was also under extreme pressure to deliver innovative solutions during this period of uncertainty, whilst faced with the challenges of limited resources. The CPSI will also make a presentation on the reviewed 2021-2025 strategic plan and annual performance plan for the financial year 2021-2022. They will take the committee into confidence on how they plan to prioritize their resources over the 3 to 5 year timelines and how they plan to achieve all the deliverables they outlined on both documents despite the challenges. Chairperson, I will now hand over to the DPSA Director General, Ms. Yoliswa Makasi, to take the committee through the presentation of the 2021-2025 strategic plan and 2021-2022 APP for all the, for the department. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I hand over to the DG.
Thank you, DM. Let me just probably come in, DM. Let me also indeed appreciate the opening remarks. Can we then agree that given the request that was made to us, we allow the DG to start because it's always important to get that overarching and high level thrust of the presentation, and in terms of how the various entities converge around those. Let us agree that immediately after the DG, then the Public Service Commissioner will then come in to accommodate his request. If the DM is comfortable with that.
I imagine, Chair, that if the PSC must start, then probably we can move straight to PSC, because I think the DG will then make the presentation that is about DPSA in the main, then overarching.
We want the DPSA to start, and then thereafter the PSC can then follow.
Oh, okay. No, it's fine, Chair. Yes. That is okay. So if the DPSA, yes, DG, over to
you. Over to you, Gigi.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can I ask the Secretariat to flight the presentation for me? Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Deputy Minister, and thank you to...
Chairperson?
Yes, Chairperson, was there confusion?
No, there's no confusion. I've made the DG a co-host, so she can flight by herself.
Okay, great for the clarity.
Chairperson, unfortunately, I can't fly it from my gadget now, but I'm asking the Secretariat, which is from my office, to be able to do so.
Okay.
Shamila Onokuselo, my gadget, I can't fly it from here, the presentation. That's my problem.
Can you assist us better?
Yeah, no, because I don't see the names here. Who's... If they can just raise their hand so that at least I can...
I'm here. Yes, I'm trying to upload the presentation.
Oh, okay.
Between my learned friends and myself, we had agreed that they would intender their team formally.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Kusi. If you could put it on presentation format. Thank you, Chairperson. This is the annual, the 2021-22 annual performance report as presented by DPSA. I will just go through the report, Chairperson, and then I'll, with your permission, I'll request the CFO to take over the financial aspects of the presentation. Could see if I can get to the next slide. Just in terms of the outline, those are the areas that we are going to...
Let me just get a sense from the DG in terms of presentation also from the National School of Government, Public Service Commission and the Center. Will you be able to do that in 1 hour, 30 minutes?
Chairperson, are you giving the three of us 1 hour, 30 minutes to share?
Yes.
Okay, I think that I will take up to 20 minutes at least for the GPSA presentation, Chairperson. I will jump some of the slides on the detail around the introductory stuff so that I focus on the substantive matters.
Thank you. I'll appreciate that, DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. If we can move, Kusi, to the next slide. Just in terms of the introduction, what we are highlighting here is really that we are presenting the 2021-22 annual performance plan, which is in line with the 2020 to 2025 strategic plan that has been shared with the SELECT committee in the past. And I think also more important is that our strategic priorities remain the same as per the 2020-25 strategic plan. So the annual performance plan deals with the deliverables on an annual basis. For this year, the department has 25 annual targets in the annual performance plan as compared to 32 annual targets in the 2020-21 financial year. Just in terms of our constitutional and legislative mandates, I think that we know the constitution, which really gives us the broader mandate in terms of the work that we do. We also have the Public Service Act of 1994 and the Public Administration and Management Act of 2014. Both these acts are undergoing a process of amendments currently. I will jump the slide on the vision and the mission of the department. And just in terms of the strategic alignment, this diagram shows the interconnectedness between the higher documents like your constitution, your NDP, up to the lowest level, which is your departmental plans, taking into account the other different inputs like your State of the Nation address, as well as the ruling party election manifesto, which goes into the State of the Nation address. And also more importantly is the medium-term strategic framework, which is a five-year plan of the National Development Plan, and the departmental plans become an annual plan of the National Development Plan. If we can move. The DPSA has five programs: Program 1, Administration; Program 2, Human Resources Management and Development; Program 3, Negotiations, Labor Relations and Remunerations Management; Program 4, E-Government Services and Information Management; Program 5, Government Services Access and Improvement. In terms of Program 1 annual plan, the purpose of Program 1 is really to provide strategic leadership, management and support services to department. Under this program, we have about six sub-programs, which is financial administration led by the CFO, internal audit led by director, internal audit, departmental management, which is the core staff supporting the DDG, the branch head, corporate services, corporate communications and legal services. Program 2 it has to do with human resource management and development of the public service. The purpose here is to develop, implement and monitor human resource management policies. So all the norms and standards that have to do with human resource management matters in the public service are within this program. The sub-programs here is two key sub-programs, which is a human resource planning and your public service leadership management. And of course, we have a core management team supporting the DG, the DDG in that unit. Program 3, negotiations, labor relations and remunerations management. This the purpose of this unit is to manage and oversee negotiations, labor relations and remuneration. So This is the branch that is dealing with the wage negotiations, with issues related to bargaining and et cetera, and remuneration standards generally for public servants. We have about five sub-programs under this unit. We have one program that deals with structures and departments. We call it the Organizational Development, Job Creating, and Macro Organization of the State. So they deal with the institutional, the structures of the various departments, which must be approved by the MPSA. So they have a responsibility to support that, the MPSA, in respect to that. Remuneration, employment conditions, and HR systems, negotiations, labor relations, and dispute management, government employee housing scheme, as well as public administration, ethics, integrity, and disciplinary technical assistance unit. This unit also has a direct reporting line to the minister in terms of the PAMA Act. Program four, e-government services. This is the branch that is aimed at creating an environment for the deployment of information technology as a strategic tool of public administration, minimize and control information technology related risks and costs in the public service. The sub-programs here include ICT and management, enablement and ICT infrastructure, information and stakeholder management, knowledge management and innovation. The next one, which is the last program, looks at managing and facilitating the improvement of service delivery in government. And this program, we have the service delivery planning and operations management unit within this branch. We have service delivery improvement initiatives. We have community development and citizen relations. We have international cooperation and stakeholder relations. And we have particular support initiatives. The Center for Public Service and Innovation is a standalone entity, but in terms of how it's supported in the department, it's through this particular program. Next slide, please. The strategic outcomes for DPSA, there's five of them in terms of the strategic plan: improved implementation of Batupile, complete implementation of the Public Administration Management Act, a stabilized public service, fight against corruption intensified, improved implementation of administrative policies. Next slide. These, the 2020-2025 MTSF targets. So I did indicate earlier on that we are guided by the five-year MTSF targets in terms of our strategy and in terms of our APP. Now we have these areas that are led directly by the Minister for Public Service and Administration in the MTSF. So our responsibility is to translate this as well into our APP so that we ensure that they are implemented and we realize some of these objectives in the MTSF. The first one is the Public Service Amendment Bill. The second one is the Regulations for the Public Administration Management Act. The third one is the Public Administration Management Amendment Bill. The fourth one is the Organizational Functionality Assessment Tool implemented. The fifth one is Business Process Modernization Program in the Public Service. The sixth one is National E-Government Strategy and Roadmap implemented. Job Competency Framework for Public Service. Program to Institutionalize Professional Code of Ethics for Public Administration. Lifestyle Audit Guidelines developed and approved in March 2021. The followings, and I'm not going to spend time on this. These are also MTSF targets which are implemented by other ministers or led by other ministers, but the Minister for DPSA has a supporting role. This one of these is a 95% resolution of reported incidents of corruption in government by 2024 via disciplinary and criminal intervention. So the role of DPSA becomes the role in respect to discipline management in the public service, working with government departments around improving the discipline management culture and consequences management, implementing the integrated financial management system in the public sector. This is led by Treasury, but DPSA is part of the process, especially because of the HR aspects in relation to the integrated financial management system. Reduction in the operation of cost of administering government. From our side as DPSA, our key deliverable relates to the management of the wage bill. We also look at the ICT costs in government. Section 100 and Section 139 Monitoring and Intervention Act in place by 2022. This is led by the Minister for COGTA,
DPSA has made an input into the process of the legislation to review or to put a legislation around Section 100 and Section 139 interventions, and this is driven by COGTA. Program by national departments and provincial departments to capacitate and intervene in challenge state institutions developed by 2022. Again, we support COGTA mainly on this. The DPSA intervenes in premier's offices as and when it's necessary through Section 100, but we have to support even through structures, and we receive lots of queries from departments that are having administration teams that are being put in different municipalities, for instance. National cluster system, this is a cluster system that is in implementation currently. GPSA is co-chairing the GSCID cluster. Biannual progress report submitted to cabinet, yes, we do this. Head of national administration and head of public service established. We have proposed to the president that in the appointment of the DG in the presidency, the function of head of national administration must be integrated. There is also in the legal amendments we are proposing on the Public Service Act, we have also added a provision in respect to this, and the same should be applying in provinces. 5 high-risk SOE governance systems reviewed by 2021. This is a responsibility that falls within DPE and presidency. Program to facilitate participatory governance mechanisms and citizen engagement, including review of structure on ward committees. This is a program that resides within Department of COGTA or a Minister of COGTA. We can move to the next slide, Kusi. Next slide, please.
DG, we're having a problem with the slides. It's stuck. We're trying to fix it.
Now, Chairperson, going into the program plans, which is the core of the annual performance planning, just going high level onto the targets for the current financial year for 2021-22. Those are the 5 programs I spoke about. We're just highlighting here that in terms of the APP, we have 5 targets that belong in administration, 4 in human resource management, 7 in program 3, 3 in program 4, and 6 in program 5. Next slide, please. In terms of program 1, our objective I've highlighted earlier on, it relates to improved implementation of administrative policies. The targets include monitoring fruitless, wasteful, and irregular expenditure, compiling biannual reports on compliance with BE status, triple BE status, submit the revised Public Service Amendment Bill, consult on the Public Administration Management Amendment Bill, and implement public stakeholder participatory strategies and plan. In terms of item number 3 and item number 4, this is the process we are currently engaged in. We have publicized the amendment bills, both of them, and I think we are closing some time now in May in terms of the public inputs, and there's a consultation process that is in place. Program 2, targets in program 2, we want to issue a legislative framework, provide technical advice and guidance to departments to support public service business continuity during the state of disaster as a result of COVID-19 pandemics. And I think generally also to prepare government for other pandemics of the future. Develop an occupational dictionary, issue legislative framework to institutionalize mandatory in-service training framework by the National School of Government. So the National School of Government is leading a process that relates to professionalization of the public service. And some of the key aspects related to professionalization of the public service is the kind of in-service training that a public servant do in the public sector as part of improving their skills. So this relates to that. Develop a state capacity skills aspect of the joint up plan. So the HR aspect in terms of the skills of the public servants or skills of the public service, especially the skills of the future, is also an issue that we are looking at. In terms of the third program, the annual targets here that we are looking at, managing the collective bargaining processes for the state in the PSCPC conduct a review of national and provincial program one structures, conduct personnel expenditure review. The personnel expenditure review, really item number one and item number two and number three are really cut at the core in terms of the public sector reforms and the reviews that the minister has even spoke about during the state of the during the budget vote that he did last week. Number four, develop job evaluation system for the public service, incorporate the professional ethics in the induction program, produce a consolidated annual report on the status, resolution of disciplinary cases and impact of interventions implemented, issue guidelines on conducting lifestyles, provide implementation support and assess implementation. Chairperson, on number seven, I just need to clarify that we have issued the guideline on conducting lifestyle audits. We have gone through the process. We have issued this guideline at the end of the financial year next year. We are now working with the system around implementation because it is at a departmental level that the process starts in terms of implementation of the lifestyle audit guidelines. The next one, program four, we're looking at issuing legislative framework to institutionalize the national e-governance strategy, propose measures to national treasury on the optimization of ICT spend in the public service. We do on an annual basis, Chairperson, a study around the ICT spend in the public service. And one of the things that we're picking up is that we are quite disintegrated in our approach, and we're not getting value for money in terms of the ICT spend that we're doing in the public service. And the engagements with treasury around how we can improve on this. Develop the IT service continuity policy framework for the public service. The next one, which is the last program. In this program, our target, we're looking at issuing the organizational functionality assessment tool to national and provincial departments. This is work we have started already on a pilot scale, but we need to escalate the work and get more departments to buy in. Monitor the implementation of the business process modernization program. Develop the participatory governance mechanisms and citizen engagement program. Legislative framework to support departments on public service delivery business continuity during the COVID-19 pandemic developed. Monitor the implementation of the revised Batupile program and monitor the institutionalization of the African peer review mechanism. If you can move to the next slide. Chairperson, I would like to stop here and with your permission, request that the CFO takes you, the committee, quickly through the budget allocations that we have in the current financial year. I do, however, need to indicate as CFO takes over that we have experienced some budget cuts, and this has created a lot of challenges in how we do our work as DPSA. And I think this is something you'll hear from other departments as well. For instance, the DPSA, because of the budget cuts, we've had to cut about 60 positions. Fortunately, they were vacant positions, so no one was affected in terms of cutting these positions in the sense that they were vacant. But that has reduced our capacity in terms of personnel. We also have reduced capacity in terms of our goods and services budget, because the cuts were on goods and services budget as well as on personnel budget. But the CFO, I will hand over to the CFO to further take you through the budget allocations. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Also good morning, DM and colleagues. I'm just going to quickly run through the budget allocation for DPSA. Honorable Chair, the DPSA for the first year, which is 2022 financial year, which is this financial year, the budget allocation is 526 million, which includes a transfer to Center for Public Service Innovation of 42 million, which is their budget. They will talk to this budget later on in this meeting. And in the outer year, the budget goes to 543 million for 2023-2024. In terms, we also indicating, Honorable Chair, the budget per branch as the DGs alluded in terms of their branch. We've got five branches. The biggest chunk of the budget goes to Program 1 at 237 million. It goes up to 260 million in the outer year. This is because this is a support unit, the minister's office, the ministry, the DG's office, finance, corporate services, as well as office accommodation. The budget is allocated there with office accommodation at 54 million per annum. And then corporate services budget is 96 million, as well as the budget for ministry is around 96 million. So that is why the biggest chunk goes to Program 1. In terms of Program 2, Human Resource Management Development, the budget is 49.1 million. And in the outer year, it goes up to 53.2 million. The third program, Negotiations, Labor Relations and Remuneration, its budget is a bit up on the first year, which is 99.1 million. This is basically because we have budgeted, included under that 99 million is 15 million, which is budgeted for personal expenditure review. And that project will also overlap into the second financial year, which is 2022, at an amount of 5 million. So that's why you have the amount 99 and it goes down a bit, and then it break even in the last year, which is 85 million. The program number four, which is e-governance services and information management, has been allocated a budget of 35.8 million. We have an amount of 2.1 million under that 35 million, which is budgeted specifically for a once-off project of ICT governance. And then it goes back to its normal in the second and the third year, which is 24.4 million. And lastly, on the slide is governance services and access improvement. The budget is 62.2 million and goes up to 64.2 million. As I've indicated, the Center for Public Service Innovation, what we do is we process the transfer on a monthly basis. Their budget is 42.5 million and it goes up to 45.3 million in the outer year. The next slide indicates how the budget has been actually allocated in terms of economic classification. Honorable Chair, you'll see that you'll realize that about 54.54% of our budget goes to composition of employees at an amount of 284 million, going up to in the outer year 290 million. This is basically because we are a policy department. We actually rely on employees to do the work. Goods and services is the second allocation, which takes about 36%. And basically, the allocation, as indicated, is 190 million, 195 as well, and goes up to 200 million. As the DG has indicated, we have suffered some cuts in the 3 years as between composition of employees and goods and services. What we aim to do, Honorable Chair, is to still continue emphasizing on the National Treasury's austerity measures and to cut and save where we can, where it's possible, so that we can be able to do the work. We understand that there's no money in the allocation, the kit. So what we can do as DPS as well is to assist National Treasury in ensuring that some of the unnecessary costs, particularly on traveling and accommodation, we can eliminate using some of the legacy innovations like the platform that we are talking to now. Transfers and subsidies, basically transfers to CDSI, as I indicated, it takes about 9%. And this also the allocation was also on the gratuity payments. And payment for capital assets,
budget is 6 million and goes down to 4.7 million. This is just basically to buy some IT related the equipment in the department. Hence the budget is a bit low there. The next slide, Honorable Chair, my intention is not to go through them if you allow. This is just all the programs from program one up to program five, up to program five in terms of the details of the sub programs, like I indicated program one, ministry, and departmental management, which is the office, corporate services, finance, and lastly, office accommodation. That is the allocation in terms of that. The second program, if you go to the next slide, program two, that is the allocation that I've highlighted in my first slide. But there we indicate in terms of the sub-programs, the sub-programs that are allocated under the program two, Office of Standards and Transformation and Workplace Environment Management. The figures are then program. The next slide 27, indicates the program three, which is the negotiations, and these the sub-programs and the allocation over the MTF, 99 million and 85 million in the outer year. The program four, which is the next slide number 28, indicates as well the under e-government services. This is the allocation for these five sub-programs, management e-government services, and lastly, the knowledge management and innovation, and that is the allocation. And that the last program is the program which indicates all the sub-programs, management government services, service delivery improvement, and of course, Center for Public Service Innovations budget is allocated under that program. Honorable Chair, this is the allocation for DPSA for this financial and over the MTF. Thank you.
So can we then agree that Public Service Commission Chairperson will then lead? Thank you, DG and CF.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, and also good morning to our colleagues from TPSA, and good morning to our GM, GM Makunga from TPSA, who is leading us today. And thank you very much for giving us this opportunity, Chairperson. We were in the middle of a full week meeting of the commission. That's why we had asked to come first. Thank you very much for agreeing that we should do that. Mr. Chairperson, the DM has covered everything in terms of overview, and therefore I align myself with her, and I agree that our strategic goal that guides us is that one of building an ethical, capable, and capacitated state, developmental state, and that is what we will be talking to about. The only thing I would like just to mention, Chairperson, before I hand over to our DG, is the fact that last week we lost one of the big characters in the public sector, the former Chairperson of the Public Service Commission, who was the first democratic Chairperson of the Public Service Commission, Professor Sten Sangweni. So the Public Service Commission and the entire public service is still mourning such a big loss. And with those few words, Chairperson, I would ask our DG to quickly take you through our program, which is not very extensive. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. DG, can take the floor.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. May I request that Ms. Fini Vivius be given the right to flight the presentation?
Chairperson, it's Ms. Who?
Fini Vivius. She's okay. In the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Call granted.
I see Honorable High.
No, Chair, I just want to clarity. My understanding is that the PSC accounts to the National Assembly in terms of the constitution. So I need clarity as to why are they presenting to the Select Committee of the NCOP, because in terms of the constitution, they account to the National Assembly.
Correctly, so I think it's a matter that at some point myself, yourself and the GM had a conversation about in the National Assembly. I think just after one of the address joint sitting, but also in one of the meetings was raised. perhaps maybe because I think the invite from our side might have led to this. Let's just give them 10 minutes and then agree that in future we'll find a way to have this kind of scenario, but you are correct. We have to act within the constitutional framework because the constitution is explicit in terms of accountability. If these members agree, let's give them 10 minutes just to take the members on board, and also they are part of the family. Unfortunately, we have not amended the legislation. We have not amended the constitution. If the chair is comfortable with that. Honorable Hai?
No, Chair, because they are already here, but I don't know the purpose, because when they present the 5-year annual strategy and also the annual performance plan, the purpose is for us to adopt that plan and hold them accountable on the implementation of that plan. How are we going to hold them accountable when they don't account to us? But I'll agree on the 10-minute suggestion, on the understanding that they are just sharing information, not that you will be doing anything about the presentation, because we don't have powers in terms of the constitution to hold them accountable. It's a National Assembly that is that right in terms of Section 195 of the constitution. Oh, sorry, 196.
Agreed with that approach.
Hey, can I come in, Chairperson, too? Can I comment, Chairperson?
Yes.
Well, Chairperson, Chairperson, this thing was raised in the first meeting, and this point was indicated, and we did indicate even at that time, and I would like to indicate at this time that even as I was coming, the commissioners were asking, are we not accounting to the National Assembly? Why are we coming? I was saying we are coming out of respect because this matter was raised. So, Chairperson, I mean, we would really appreciate it if you can release us rather than make us make a presentation that is not really part of this body.
I think the chair really has really assisted us. Particularly given the pressure of time that you have, let's then agree that we'll find a way to engage in terms of what the legislation says and what it allows and what it does not allow. But definitely, we are part and parcel of our family. Unfortunately, the legislation has explicitly stated that accountability lies with the NA. You are therefore, Chair, and the team released. My humble and sincere apologies.
for that. I hope that the committee secretary has correctly captured the essence of the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Let's get the principal then. Can we get the principal of the National School of Government?
Thank you very much, Chair. My name is Botshabelo Maja. I'm the Deputy Director General at the National School of Government. The principal will be joining us, but with your permission, Chair, I would like us to begin our presentation. We have ready Mr. Dino Punsami to share with the committee our input, if we are allowed. Chair, must we, can we go ahead?
Yes, you can continue.
Thank you very much, Chair. Mr. Dino Punsami can go ahead and share the presentation with the committee. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, and to all the honorable members of the Select Committee. Thank you for the opportunity, Chairperson, for us to present the strategy of the National School of Government. Chairperson, if I may please request rights to share my screen, then I can, okay, thank you. Chairperson and to the honorable members, thank you once again for the opportunity. We will present the annual performance plan for the 2021-2022 financial year. And I think importantly for us, Chairperson, is to share a presentation with you which incorporates the five-year strategy of the National School of Government, which covers the period 2020 to 2025. Importantly, Chairperson, is that the annual performance plan for the 21-22 financial year is actually the second year of implementation of this five-year strategy. And it also provides in the presentation a synopsis of how we have performed in the first year of implementation of the five-year strategy. We will contextualize the work of the National School of Government within the government priority of strengthening state capacity and building an efficient, capable, ethical and developmental state. We will recap to some extent, Chairperson, the performance as I've indicated, in particular the challenges that have been posed by the COVID pandemic and how the National School of Government has responded to these areas of challenge. We will focus a little bit on the performance priorities and the financial position for the new financial year. And we thought importantly, Chairperson, we have not appeared before the Select Committee on the work of the professionalization of the public service, but we thought it would be important to provide an update on the work that we are doing regarding the professionalization of the public service and some of the interventions that we have planned. Chairperson, we are guided, of course, by the work that the government has set out, Cabinet, and by the President. And of course, most recently in March, the President spoke about building an efficient, capable, and ethical state, free from corruption, being, you know, amongst the foremost priorities. But importantly, that the public service must be staffed by men and women who are professional, skilled, selfless, and honest. And a large part of this is where we draw our responsibility as the National School of Government. We also draw, Chairperson, from the medium-term strategic framework, which requires a capable, ethical, and developmental state. And in all three elements of the state, we see the work of the National School of Government quite prevalent in a capable state, building the human capabilities, supporting institutional capacity building, in an ethical state, providing for the constitutional values and principles, supporting the realization of socioeconomic rights and social justice, and in a developmental state, the need to meet people's needs through interventionist, developmental, and participatory public administration. We are guided by priority one of the seven priorities that has been outlined by the president, and importantly, a state that requires, amongst others, improved leadership, governance, and accountability, functional, efficient, and integrated government, professional, meritocratic, and ethical public administration, amongst others. And this is the work that also begins to inform the National School of Government. We also looked at what characterizes a South African developmental state, and these are some of the areas which we find are important also to find its way into the work of the National School of Government as we train and develop public servants. Amongst these, professional and ethical public administration, execution diligence and accountability, the capacity to plan for government, the prudent use of resources, the quality in the decisions that we make and take. We thought, importantly here, Chairperson, we use this image to show how life has changed as we knew it with the onset of the digital transformation, the fourth industrial revolution, and now more so through the COVID pandemic, how it has changed the nature of work as we know it, and the importance, therefore, in the context of public sector, of reskilling public servants to be able to take on the new challenges within a digital space. Chairperson, in terms of the five-year strategy of the National School of Government, our vision is to build an ethical and capable public sector in the service of the people, and a mission to empower public servants in order to be responsive to citizen needs and government priorities through interventions of our education, training, and development. We have set five strategic outcomes over the five-year period. Firstly, is about ensuring that the school is, itself is functional and integrated to support the delivery of ETD interventions. Secondly, that we ensure there are competent public servants empowered to do their jobs. Thirdly, and quite importantly for us, are the sustainable partnerships and collaboration. And we will talk a little bit more about how the school has ventured into the space of partnerships and collaboration. Quality and responsiveness are key for the National School of Government. So those who deliver training to the public servants on our behalf, the practitioners, the education, training and development practitioners and facilitators, and our responsiveness to education, training and development interventions. Chairperson, as we set out the five-year strategy of the National School of Government, we had identified key interventions that we would need to make over a five-year period. And already into the first year of implementation, we're proud to reflect on some of the achievements already we are seeing that have been developed or are in the process of being developed. As part of leadership development, Chairperson, we have spoken extensively about the role that the school can play in developing executive and senior leadership across all organs of state, across the spheres of government. And we've now introduced the focus on the institution of traditional leadership as part of what the school would be engaging. Thought leadership seminars and webinars have become crucial for us. We have introduced what we refer to as master classes. And in the last month of the previous financial year, in March, we were fortunate to host the president and the executive in one of the most successful interventions that the school has undertaken, a masterclass that was facilitated by Professor Mariana Mazzucato. We had also hosted the Spring School on Economic Governance, which brought together many members of the executive at various levels, national, provincial, and local spheres of government, in as far as understanding the economy and the economic governance of the South African state. We are focusing a lot on the public service, using what we refer to as an entry to exit approach. In other words, when you enter the public service as as an intern or as a youth in the foundational development, moving into the space of middle management, senior management, and then the executive management and leadership, and therefore our programs target these four areas, what we refer to as the occupational bands to support. The professionalization is an important aspect for us, and through the Minister of Public Service and Administration, we have been leading the project together with the sister organizations, the DPSA and the Office of the Public Service Commission. And the professionalization framework was published at the end of last year after Cabinet approved the draft framework for public comments. It has been opened up. The President again in March had opened up to the country to provide inputs into the framework document, and we will provide an update on where we are with regard to this process. There are other aspects that are important for us as well, Chairperson, in as far as the quality management. We speak in particular about the quality of our programs, the accreditation of our programs, the trainer professionalization, those who train on our behalf, and importantly, the quality management overall in the delivery of the way we offer our programs. The curriculum is important to us, and as a level of the organization, we are focused in the last financial year, and as we are in this financial year, we are reorganizing the structure of the organization to align with the new strategy. Of course, digital transformation and operation management is key for us as an NSG as we now deal with the digital transformation and the digital approach and remote workings brought about by the COVID pandemic. Chairperson, as we look back at the last financial year, which ended up on the 31st of March of this year, we had the opportunity, as was opened through the DPME, to revise our annual performance plan in view of the COVID pandemic and the national lockdown. We had done so. Chairperson, at this point, we must indicate that the National School of Government is a government department, but does have to generate its own revenue through the cost of training sales. And for that purpose, we set targets annually to generate revenue. Our target initially was set at 132 million rand for the financial year. However, because of the revisions that we had to make, we had to reduce that. The training numbers are also an important form of measure for the National School of Government to ensure that we are reaching out to public servants. And for that purpose as well, we had reduced the training numbers. Chairperson, what we found interesting in the financial year since the national lockdown is that the School of Government had to recalibrate itself, largely because the nature of our training interventions are face-to-face or contact training. And this required a complete paradigm shift in the way we are offering our training. And so as the executive and the leadership of the National School of Government, a training response plan was developed, which focused a lot on the digital aspects, the virtual and online learning. And so for that purpose, we had opened up more courses on the e-learning platform, and we will show statistics on how the numbers for e-learning enrollments have grown over the last financial year. So for the target that we had set, of 26,000, we had actually trained in excess of 37,000 learners, despite the challenges that had faced us. However, on the side of revenue, we had not been able to generate, largely because the cost of our courses, which are offered on e-learning platforms, vary quite significantly to that which we offer as the face-to-face learning. Chairperson, one of the programs that is approved by government is a pre-entry to the senior management service, what we refer to as the New Kela program. It means that no person can be appointed into any position of the senior management service in government if you have not completed this program through the National School of Government. And so in the last financial year, we had seen the enrollments in excess of 11,600 learners enrolling for the course, and a success rate of close to 7,000 completion. The ethics course is another compulsory course for the for the public service, and we had seen enrollments 15,834 and a 98% achievement in completing these courses. So this is quite successful, especially in a year of all of the challenges that we've had. And these were courses that were run either through e-learning platforms or where the National School of Government held virtual classes. I have indicated the master classes that we held, which is proving to be hugely successful amongst the participants, both from the public service and outside of public service, and it's an area that we will continue focusing on. So, Chairperson, these are the training numbers for the online courses. During the course of the financial year as well, the National School of Government had established its own repository on resources pertaining to COVID-19, which we had made available onto our e-learning platform. But importantly, the numbers in the first two rows, Chairperson, you'll see, as I've spoken about the Nupiela program, and the ethics and the public service, and these are some of the other courses where numbers are taking. So in excess of 54,000 that are enrolled for the courses. What happens here, Chairperson, is that the enrollment figures may vary from the completion rate, because the beauty of the of the online courses is that a person gets to study at their own pace and at their own time. So we don't necessarily attach a very strict timeline, to say that an online course has to be done within, in most cases, in 2 days or 3 days. It is being done at their own pace and so forth. Therefore, it's important for us to reflect on the enrollments for the e-learning courses. And so, Chairperson, as I was indicating, the graph that we've had in terms of enrollments, has shown a very steady incline from April of last year, until the end of March this year. There have been very steady enrollments, for the e-learning courses. This, of course, excludes close to 17,600 learners actually enrolling for an orientation course about better understanding the e-learning and, how to study online. So these figures are very promising for us as the National School of Government, because we are starting to see an appetite amongst learners, particularly the public servants, of wanting to take up online learning through the National School of Government. These are just the figures, the breakdown of the numbers, Chairperson. So we measure ourselves according to the mandatory courses that we have, the induction program, and the demand-driven courses, which had exceeded quite significantly in the year. And again, a very quick synopsis of some of the achievements, the masterclass I've spoken about. We are in partnership with the Chinese National Academy, the China National Academy of Governance, and we held seminars on building governance capacity. There was the economic governance school that I had spoken about with members of the executive. And you'll see the top right-hand corner, former President Motlanthe, accompanied by the late minister in the presidency, Minister Mtembu, who was one of the champions of the program. We have also in the financial year, Chairperson, established a research fellowship program where we are tapping into the resources of former DGs in government as well as other experts to support the work of the National School of Government. For that purpose, we have on the left-hand side, Professor Mazzucato, who has agreed to be a research fellow of the National School of Government. And on the right-hand side, three former DGs, the former DG of Environmental Affairs, the former DG in the Presidency, and the former Defense Secretary, who are all part of the research fellowship program of the school. Chairperson, as I've indicated, partnerships are important for us. They are the future that we see. as the National School of Government, and these are some of the partners that we have. The French School of French School of Administration, ENA, is a current partner where we are driving a lot of our international virtual exchanges. So there's a lot of courses around the digital transformation. Most recently, we've signed an MOU with the Civil Service College Singapore. And so these are some of the other partners, that are supporting the work of the National School of Government. Chairperson, just in terms of, the finances, as I've indicated, the school manages two accounts, the VOAT and a trade account. And this is a very quick synopsis of the finance as we ended the financial year. So 95% in terms of our expenditure on the VOAT and the expenditure on the trade side at 66%, largely because of the training numbers or the training courses that had not taken place during the financial year. Chairperson, in terms of our priorities for the new financial year, we see ourselves playing an important role in that the school is different from any other learning institutions, particularly because of our location within the state and our response to towards improving the public sector performance. So we want to make sure at all times that there's quality and relevance in the courses that we are offering. And so importantly for us, as I reflected, that we need to focus on this new generation of public sector employees and leaders, in particular as we look at matters of innovation and finding new ways of doing things with precision, being ethical and accountable, being prudent in the way we use the public resources and diligent in how we execute the national priorities. Chairperson, we have been, the school has been disrupted, the business model, but as I've indicated, we've refocused our attention to online and virtual learning, so more courses have been put onto the online platform. We've secured additional licensing for virtual tools. We've trained our employees to be able to deliver virtually. And where we do have the contact training or the face-to-face training, we put in place quite stringent social distancing measures. Our social media presence has also been enhanced, and I think the brand of the National School of Government is been doing quite well, particularly with all of the work that we have been undertaking. So, for example, the webinars that we run, they are live streamed on our Facebook page. We have on the Twitter page, there's constant communication and contact, with the learners. We are also supporting Chairperson, our Minister, on the social cohesion cluster, program of action, and we are looking at a program that will be training all senior managers on how to deal with all forms of discrimination, as well as support to the Department of Basic Education on matters of diversity and how to handle these matters within the classroom environment. Chair, I'm not going to go through each of the indicators. Suffice to say that we have set ourselves targets to ensure that on the outcome of creating a functional integrated institution, we are working on matters around the quality management, mapping our processes, the business processes, to make sure that we're able to assess those areas that need the kinds of automation and digitization. We are looking at more business solutions to make the NSG more efficient and effective. We are also wanting to manage our expenditure and making sure that within the NSG, our senior managers are trained on how to deal with expenditure management. So, with regard to the branding and the communications, we will continue pursuing that. In terms of our revenue generation, we have planned for this financial year a target to generate 118.5 million in revenue. And we are also looking at how we engage across all spheres of government, all organs of state, and for that purpose we are looking at business development interventions that can translate into the uptake of the school's offerings. We will be in this financial year also looking at the programs. We are also undertaking impact evaluation studies to get a better sense of the impact that the National School of Government is having on the performance of the, you know, the public servants and how it is supporting them in as far as their work is concerned. So Chairperson, we will also be, our target for this financial year is 38,460 learners. We've looked at the last financial year, and if we take our target of around 37,000 that we've trained, we will aim to push for this number and higher in as far as training is concerned. Chair, we've also looked at how we support the State of the Nation priorities as was announced by the President, and we do believe some of the programs that we have will be able to support, you know, in this space. We look, for example, on the matter of the coronavirus pandemic, we are partnering, you know, with the international institutions to look at how we bring about the, you know, the onset of remote working and digital working. The CAEDO program, we believe that can really assist public servants in making business processes and operations management more efficient. With regard to accelerating the economic recovery, you know, some of our courses, the master classes, are focusing specifically on the economy of the country. And so these are some of the areas that we are responding to. With regard to our budget for this financial year, Chairperson, the vote expenditure is at 210 million. That's what's been allocated to us. And with regard to the trade account, part of the funding from the vote goes into the trade account. And as I indicated, our target is to generate 118.5 million. So we plan in this year with all of the revenue and the expenditure to be in the region of 223 million. With regard to the professionalization of the public service, Chairperson, just to indicate that Cabinet has approved the publication of the implementation framework, and that took place on the 18th of November. Cabinet had approved this, and subsequent to that, the Minister had published in December, or actually gazetted, the draft framework. Media statements were then issued in January, where we outlined a two-week consultation process. We clustered that into 10 broad functional groups, and we had undertaken this professionalization consultations from the 15th to the 26th of February. Chairperson, very quickly, in terms of the five pillars of the professionalization framework, we do see it as important where we start at the level of pre-entry into the public service. And so the new Kerala program is one such program which prepares you before you enter the public service. We do believe there is more that could happen to make sure that before a person enters the public service, there is proper testing. So for example, we deal with the issues around integrity testing and how we extend pre-entry examinations or tests beyond the new Kerala program. Within the recruitment and selection phases, there are certain aspects we think are important. And as you get appointed into the public service, the process of a public servant being inducted and through the onboarding within their own departments and being supported by other public servants are important for us. We focus on HR planning and performance management. The fourth pillar is around continuing learning and professional development, and we've identified certain areas that we think are important for a process of progressively phasing in professional registration or recognition in some of these areas. And lastly, importantly for us, the career progression and career incidence and management of that, particularly as we focus with the tenures of the heads of department and how we actually use as we're doing currently through the research program, to be able to utilize that expertise on the exit from the, you know, from the public service. The state also has a policy document that is referred to as the revolving door policy. We hope through this process of professionalizing the public service that we're able to revitalize this policy, which should allow, you know, public servants to move within the within academia, private sector, and allow for the same, so that there is a broader sense of appreciation of the knowledge and the skills that can be gained, during this process. Chair, very quickly, in this consultation process, we had invited 159 organizations to participate, professional bodies, research institutions, think tanks, and we had in total 771 individuals who participated, who made very valuable inputs to us over the two-year period. And there are some key issues that we will be focusing on in as far as this work is concerned. I mean, very strongly what emanated from the discussions was to advocate for the ethical issues across the public service. There's a need for us to rethink the internship program and how we actually create permanent opportunities for the internship programs. The training, so the reskilling and the upskilling of public servants, as well as the matter of recognition of prior learning, and importantly, to ensure the promotion of the Section 195 constitutional values and principles. We are in the process of finalizing the framework. So our goal is at least by October, we'll go back to Cabinet with very clear recommendations. The Minister for Public Service and Administration has appointed a task team, which we are now finalizing. And the responsibility of this task team, which then, is from the broad sector of the different bodies and the institutions, is to make very clear recommendations after reviewing all of the inputs that we had received, make very clear recommendations on what Cabinet should be considering as part of the proposals to implement the professionalization. Chairperson, I think importantly for us as we look towards implementing the performance plan for the new financial year, the funding model, as I've indicated, it continues to remain a challenge for the National School of Government in as far as its sustainability is concerned. And there is some level of intervention required to ensure that the school is able to strengthen the state capacity, it is well funded. At the same time, we believe that all public sector institutions must make sure that the requisite tools of trade are provided to the public servants in particular, as we get into this fast-paced digital transformation that is unfolding, so that the public servants themselves have access to be able to learn online or virtually as may be required. Data costs, of course, continue to remain a challenge for us. We have been engaging with the departments, that are responsible, and we're looking at how we can zero rate the data costs that pertain to our e-learning programs, so that at least our frontline workers in particular, they are able to learn without having the concern about data being attached as a payment requirement for them. And so partnerships, lastly, Chairperson, as I've indicated, they are the future for the National School of Government. We are continuing in our engagement with partnerships, and we believe that this can provide opportunities for public servants to be able to expand their knowledge. There are some very interesting programs that the school has been engaging on, particularly in the space of digital transformation, in the space of innovation, in this age of disruption. So there are many courses that the South African public servants are actually benefiting from these international opportunities. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the time.
Rebecca.
Slalo.
I think it's
Okay, Chair. Okay, let me remind him. He's still logged in.